Now I invite you to join me in the reading of the New Testament lesson from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. We are given inside privilege to Jesus' conversation with his disciples. And now let us give faithful attention to the reading of God's Word. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." And when the ten heard this, they became indignant with James and John, and Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." May God bless us and strengthen us and guide us as Christ's servants. Albert Schweitzer was the Mother Teresa of the first half of the 20th century, and he left everything because of Jesus' call and went and spent his life in Africa. He was a trained musician, an organist. He built organs. He was an expert in Bach. He had a PhD in theology, but he went to med school so that he could go and serve in Africa, being sent by the Paris Mission Society to their hospital, where in effect he would give the rest of his life. He saw an advertisement in a magazine that they needed doctors, and he really wanted to serve in Africa, but he thought, "What could I do?" And he decided he would go to med school. And he went through med school as fast as he could. He was awake at night studying furiously. And then he had the interview with the Paris Missionary Society, and they didn't really like his theology. There was a part of them that didn't want to send him. They thought he was too liberal. He had some funny ideas about Jesus and the second coming. But he was a doctor, and they desperately needed a doctor, and so they sent him. And then the world found out that he did indeed know a whole lot about Jesus and what it meant to serve. And so he went. He was imprisoned during both world wars when all he wanted to do was keep the hospital and the mission open and serve people the best he could. And then he would, from time to time, speak all over the world, of course, raising money for the mission. And it was not unusual for him to speak to large audiences. And sometimes he would speak to large audiences of young people. And in one such gathering, he said to them, "I do not know what life has in store for you, but this one thing I do know. Of all you young boys and girls who are gathered here today, you young men and women, the only ones who will ever truly be happy will be those who earnestly seek and find the best way, in which to serve others." The best way to serve others. And Jesus found the best way to serve others. He came down to earth. He made of himself nothing. He emptied himself, the idea is here, emptied himself to become a servant, to be a human being. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And so Jesus went out with his disciples. He got up and out of the synagogue and went out into the world with his band of disciples and turned the world upside down, preaching good news and healing people and serving people here and there. His life was all in ministry, was all about risk-taking mission and service and passing that on to his disciples. And so for the past 6 weeks, we have thought about living church practices, passionate worship, intentional faith development, irresistible hospitality, ascribing generosity, and today, risk-taking mission and service. Why? Because we believe that these values cry out for action, and they help churches rise again. They help God's people rise again. John Carver is a brilliant author, professor, and teacher, and he's written a number of books, but recently a book titled Boards That Make a Difference, A New Design in Nonprofit and Public Organization. And over again in that book, he says that boards and leaders and people that are involved with organizations need to live out values, need to ask the question, what are worthy values we should bring to life? And what are the worthy results we should pursue? Living church practices. Passionate worship, intentional faith development, irresistible hospitality, extravagant generosity, risk-taking mission and service. They cry out to be lived. And today we're thinking about risk-taking mission and service as we finish up. We can be a servant in a serve-me world. The world out there is crying out for people to go and serve beyond the walls of any church. And this past month, maybe 6 weeks, I've had a lot of very interesting conversations, staff, session. These may have gone, you know, further out into the church. Reconnecting with Farragut School. I met with a group of lead teachers and the vice principal a couple of weeks ago. They said, come on back. We could use those school supplies. We could use tutors. We could use folks that maybe would take a couple day trips up to Chicago to the museums so the kids can get out and see a bigger world and learn some things. We could use some folks that just would come and sit down and eat lunch and talk with their kids. There's after school program opportunity. And as we did before, I said, well, we'll start with what we can do. And as we did before, we said we would do some things and we delivered them. And we want to come through for you. We don't want to do too many things at once, but we want to begin again. So excited about that. We have some folks that are talking about developing a music and arts academy, passing on music and art to children, younger people. Had lunch with Jim Mullins this week, and his idea talked about book reviews. And I thought about Jim Mullins, where he reads tons of books, and Bob Herrick reads tons of books, and they're always talking to me about what they're reading. And Jim and I talked, Jim said, you know, we could have some book reviews here and invite all those people back from the simulcast. We could advertise at Barnes & Noble's. A new book Jim just read called Decisive by the Heath brothers, Heath and Heath, How to Make Decisions, How to Make Them Well. Bob Herrick shared with me a book he recently read called Flashpoints. A historian and an expert on intelligence writes about the world, where the next conflicts or probably the clashes of culture are going to be. Very interesting book. Had a conversation with Carl Darley this week. There's a local organization that has 1,000 gallons of paint that were given to it. Needs some folks to come and put the same colors into 5-gallon buckets. And then they have a list of houses to paint. We can paint some houses. And next year they'd like to paint 40 to 50 houses in one particular neighborhood where there's a lot of poverty. Mission Council talking about in the fall, gathering both youth and adults to go to Aurora and go to Feed My Starving Children, where you go there and you pack a special food that's designed specifically for people around the world that are starving, and it has special nourishment to save their lives. There's talk of a 2017 mission trip again back to Angel House Mission. There's talk about a summer feeding program for all the children within walking distance of the church. There's many, many children that could use some food. Some folks will pay attention to them. I started the week with a member talking to me about starting a fund for poor people. a fund that would help meet the needs of poor people. Exciting time. Risk-taking, mission, and service. It's time to turn outward. The world is out there. And today, as you leave, I hope you'll take a tomato plant or a flowering plant, whichever one you want, and let that be a symbol, let that be a start that we're turning outward again. It's what made this church great. It was in history of this church, years and years, decades before I ever showed up. We are a church of community service. We make a difference in the world. Tom Eric is a writer, a church consultant, Episcopal priest based in New York. You should have received his one-page article with your bulletin, I hope, when you came in. I encourage you to read through that, but I want to highlight some things. We had a meeting this Wednesday night. We invite for the annual, a working meeting for the annual congregational meeting to come look and go through the annual report and anything else in the life of the church where we can spend as much time as anyone wants. One of our members came, handed me that article. Member had read through the whole annual report, had a list of things, very good questions. We had a very good dialogue. Tom Eric's article, he says, the much heralded decline of Christianity in America, the Pew Research folks have been putting that out. Tom Eric says, it's not about God losing faith in humankind. Don't worry. He said, I would argue, in fact, that Christianity isn't in trouble at all. Oh yeah, there are churches that are in trouble and denominations and religious institutions, but God isn't in trouble. And churches can't hold God hostage. God will do what God wants to do. And you remember when Solomon built the great temple. In his prayer, it dawns on him. Great theology. God does not dwell in buildings made by people. Can't hold God. God goes everywhere. It's not that God was upset with the temple. It's just God is bigger than all that. So Tom Eric says, let's relax about Christianity and our faith going down the tubes. This isn't an existential crisis for God that we're in. God's very much alive. And then he talks about five ways that churches hurt themselves as he's looked back in the last 20, 30, 40 years. We stopped trying, he says. We got comfortable and in maintenance mode. And we talked about churchy things that really didn't matter in the world. We stopped giving. In the past 50 years, our giving has dropped in half compared to what the average families gave as a percentage of their income in years past. So we starved our church of resources, and we often funded the facilities we wanted, and that defeated the mission that God wanted. We turned inward. We opened our doors on Sunday morning and we welcomed ourselves. We enjoyed ourselves. Four, we fixated on Sunday morning. We thought we could cram all the faith into 1 hour. And then go home. Go about our business. We'd done our church. And then show up the next week. And then we trashed our reputation. We became judgmental and angry and smug. And then we decided we would scold the world. Who wants to be scolded all the time? Well, what's the future? He says there's a lot of hope. God's not dead. God is alive, and I would agree. And there's a bright and glorious future. God has a great future. The ever-dynamic, ever-loving, ever-transforming God will be just fine. Some churches won't. Some are in trouble. Some will lose heart. They'll shut their doors. But then there are those churches who will rise to the occasion, rise to the challenge. They will do what Jesus did. They will look outward. They will go out into the world. They will proclaim good news. They'll welcome the strangers. They'll serve the least of these. They'll give their lives and their resources away. They'll work for justice and ministry and mercy and mission. They'll be faith community 7 days a week. And we've talked about that, but not lately. We want to be a 7 day a week faith community. Doesn't mean that all of us are going to be here 7 days a week, but more than an hour. and we'll go out and transform the world. A lot of hope in that article. It's about seeing things a little bit differently. A few weeks ago, we had a leadership simulcast, and it was wonderful to hear former Mayor Rudy Giuliani speak. Very interesting, but he talked about some of the things he did in New York City, and one of the things he did in New York City that was so fascinating was he said, we brought welfare reform before it came to the Congress, before President Clinton enacted welfare reform. And we had 600,000 people, we got 600,000 people off welfare while I was mayor of New York City. Now, some people would say to him, well, that's because you're mean, you don't like poor people, and you just want to take the money. And he said, that's not it at all. I serve Jesus Christ, and you can't tell me it's a loving thing to just hand people money and say goodbye and get them addicted to sticking their hand out so that they don't have the dignity of work and improving their families and improving their lives. And so I went to the welfare organization, and I said, let's change this. Let's become an employment center. And so when our welfare workers found a job for somebody, I gave them a bonus. And if the person stayed in that job so many years, they got another bonus. And if they got a better job, they got another bonus. But if they just handed out welfare, there were no bonuses. And 600,000 people got jobs. And the welfare workers were excited. And they were creating all kinds of jobs and connecting with all kinds of people. Good news, seeing things differently. Risk-taking mission service, that's what we're about. Jesus calls us to be servants, to go out in the world wherever we go, and to see ourselves as servants 7 days a week. B.J. Gallagher helped write a book called The Road to Happiness. And he said, whenever I travel, I like to talk to taxi cab drivers along the way. And they take me from my airport to my motel or a convention center or to a restaurant. And they're often immigrants come to our country. And they have very interesting personal histories. And so I like to talk with them and find out about their unusual cultural backgrounds. And when I'm in the car with them, I'll ask them, how long have you been in America? And how did you choose to come to this particular city, and what do they like best about this city? And I also ask for their advice on good restaurants and things to do, and I've got some great advice, had some great experiences because of the things that the taxi cab drivers told me. On one trip, I was making a conversation with a taxi cab driver, as I normally do. I asked my normal questions about how he came here, where he lived, and so forth, but then I asked him a hypothetical question. I said, if you could live anywhere in the world, if money was no object, where would you live? And without hesitating a second, he said, I live in my heart. So it really doesn't matter where my body lives. If I'm happy on the inside, I live in paradise no matter where my residence is. B.J. Gallagher said, I felt a little humbled and foolish for asking that question. Of course, he was right. Happiness is an inside job. And he reminded me of something that I already knew, but I had forgotten. If you can't find happiness inside yourself, you'll never find it out there in the world, no matter where you move, because wherever you go, there you are. You take yourself with you. Now, it depends on what's inside. It all depends on what we allow inside. And Jesus said, be careful about what we allow inside. Let the Holy Spirit in. Let God in. And when you do that, then happiness is an inside-out kind of thing. And I truly believe the folks are right. The only people who will ever be truly happy are those who find and earnestly seek the best way in which to serve other people. Those people are the happiest people. People that live with the most meaning and intentionality, and there's joy. Those people are the best people I know. Please, pray with me. Lord, open us to you. You are alive and well, active, ready to move in and through us. So help us to know how best to serve this day and any day. As individual followers of Christ and as your church, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.